That did the trick. Okay, here we go.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter. But I see it in you, so we're gonna walk it out.
Going clean on the recorder and over the air.
Okay. Yeah. Okay,
it may have
okay,
sounded
that's good. That's good enough.
Tied, but
yeah, I think we had that issue before. And plus, you know, I got this really antiquated equipment. So, but when I listened to the playback, when I listened to it after you edited it, it was perfect, man. I was cracking up at our last show we did. After I listened, I said, man, me and John, we're hitting it. So, hi, yeah. How you doing, bro? How you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm doing the bachelor thing now because Carol's up in Vermont at her sister's house. And she's, well, she left and she forgot her passport.
Okay.
And so you can't cross the border into Canada without a passport now because sometime around the pandemic, the U.S. said you couldn't get into the United States from Canada without a passport. So, of course, tit for tat. But, so, anyway, now you can't get over there either with that one. So, I had to overnight it, but it didn't get there overnight.
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't
know. How did you meet your...
But then they said... I asked, was supposed to get there by 6 p.m. last night. Hadn't been there by this morning. So, anyway.
So far,
she's not planning on crossing the border till the weekend. So, hopefully.
Okay. So far, so good, right?
Yeah. You know, that's what that guy who jumped off a really tall building
that's
said.
That's what you said. So far, so good.
Yeah, every time he passed a window, people said, "How you doing?" He said, "So far, so good."
So far, so good. I passed it around. I passed it around on my job. You know, yeah, I want to endeavor you and I this evening to kind of make a few minutes to talk about recovery completely, because I have been given the opportunity for. My clients or the residents over at my job to listen to some of the recordings that you and I have made and recovery. And I believe sometimes if you put something on and it's not about what they're thinking about, they'll tune it out, right? So we're gonna try to chop it up, because I think everybody's looking forward to Recovery Radio over there with John and James, John Case, the engineer, because they watched about 9 of the video episodes. I haven't, just the audio ones, I haven't been able to get those up because you put all the video on YouTube so I can pull those up, but I can't hook any kind of computer up to the television.
You have to go to, democracyroad.podbean.com.
And well, also, they don't have, they won't, they restrict the internet.
Oh, you can't get, oh, so you got
to I have to use what they give me, right? Until it gets authorized.
Yeah. Well,
so it's fine. It's working out just fine, because what you did an excellent job. The YouTube ones came out really good. They much better than, you know, because people want to watch it again.
They let you go to YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's what's going on, John. And
well, we
so
can
I would
post,
like to...
Yeah. I can post them to I can post them to YouTube.
Okay, all the audio ones too?
Yeah, that doesn't matter. It just has a blank screen.
Yeah. That's all. I tried to get the playground on there. I was talking... You know, I had a chance to visit with my old friend Salim. You know, he passed away, and we did those shows.
Right.
Yeah. But switching gears for a moment before I forget. You know, Prosecutor Yanni, right, Matt? In Shepherdstown, Shepherdstown. Matt Yanni?
No, I don't know him.
Okay, you ever heard of him? You never heard of him?
What does he prosecute, like traffic tickets or something?
No, man, he prosecutes mostly drug addiction and robbery. He was assistant prosecutor right there in Shepherdstown. Mm-hmm. Man, you got to get out more.
I do. You know, I don't.
You leave and go to Vermont, right?
Well.
Oh, but you live, that's right. You live in
Harpers Ferry.
Yeah, you live in Harpers Ferry, right down the street. Yeah. Bolivar. When I was in West Virginia, I was all over the place, John. I feel it now.
Occasionally, huh? But I don't see that many people in Shepherdstown. Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, you know, I just got a message from him on my Facebook page. Yeah, he was like, "Hey, damn, so glad to talk to you." And I'm gonna get him on the show, man. But back to Elevate. That's where I work. I'm proud to say, you know, I worked there before. I had left because of some difficulties. I'm back, and the place really has impressed me. And I've only been there like a month and a half, but the turnaround in healthcare and, you know, for addiction, you know, it's not really healthcare. I don't even know how to categorize this thing. But anyway, it's a rehab center, and people come in and they get medically assisted treatment for a while. They come in detoxing from different chemicals and lifestyles.
Right.
And, you know, we kind of help them out. But in the past, in my experience in a lot of rehabs, people have, you know, they get a bad rap, but it's not a bad rap across the board. Like, there are a lot of bad places. And I think that they've taken a stand in terms of, compassionate care, patient-centered care, and to be, you know, a little more tolerant and, to make sure that people have a say-so in their treatment. Like, people are not treated like a number or a caseload number or something like that.
A laboratory
rat.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and they brought in some excellent chefs. You know, pretty good. They're good, and they come in, they cook food, and the food is like really prepared with care. These guys, and they're getting enough. I mean, these folks are picking up in 30 days, they're picking up 30 pounds. Some of them. Yeah. And what they're doing, what I'm seeing, right, is a turnaround in attitudes about caring about yourself, which is coming from the guys and the ladies, because it's, you know, men and women. And now it's really, it's a full circle of care there. And it's going to be a good model. I think that they're going to develop a recovery cafe down there. I remember you and I talked about it. I think we even did a show, one of the podcasts on the recovery cafe model. Yeah. And, you know, and yeah.
Can we pause for a second?
Yeah. You're on the beach. You're going to get in the water.
Come on.
All right. He jumped in the water, folks. That's what you just saw. John's going to take a swim, but he'll be back shortly. I don't think he paused the report. Yes, he did. He paused it.
All right. Now he's a
bird. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully back.
Yeah, so, yeah, this I just want to put that little bit in there, man, and because the guy, and we were trying to have the show, the podcast, happen tonight at where I work, but there's, you know, there's privacy things going on, and by right, you know, but they were just so excited about the possibilities of being involved in something that they've never been involved in before, you know, especially when they always, a lot of time, you get a lot of no, I'll see you later, or, you know, they get a lot of, they get pushed to the side, but, you know, it's just so many of us. I mean, there's just a handful of us who are trying to.
They would probably. How are they? How's this outfit funded?
It's private.
Insurance,
the Medicare, funded by that.
Federal, state, and private insurance.
I believe so.
Dream. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not actually
sell,
sure.
Do they sell products too, or just service?
No. We provide service. We're just full circle of care, and it's up to the individual to.
You know whether are they non-profit or are they profit?
No, they're for profit. Yeah, and the profit. Here's the really, really good part about it. There are people who go through that program, Elevates program, and go out and stay in recovery in 6 months. You do 6 months and you come back. The director is giving these guys and ladies jobs. And I work with some of them. Matter of fact, you know, I mean, I've seen a couple of guys go through the program, and a month and a half later, they're supervisors at this place.
Yeah.
And doing a good job, yeah. So I like that. I really like that part. It is good. And they're working, they're employed, and he's creating jobs, and it's staying mostly, it looks like everything is staying in the community.
That's
where
good.
It is. You know, that's what it appears to be. So I buy into that part. And the other part is they're open to recovery and models of sustainable recovery. And they, you know, they're taking lead from peers, people who are peers, peer recovery, and all of the suggestions are considered, nothing is pushed aside. And most of all, the clients, the people who are consumers, are getting what they're paying for. So far, so good.
You know, it would seem to me that if you were an institution like that the things that would be of most interest, you know, to the institution would be one, success stories. Mm-hmm. That were believable. Mm-hmm. The other, of course, is, you know, beyond whether or not there is success down the road, you know, if you're in serious trouble, then you have, you know, relief from, mm-hmm. you know, a crisis. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are two different things, but,
how so?
Well, you know, a lot of times people crash, and to survive, they get involved in any program that they can. And, you know, whether or not you can go the distance or not is a lot of times determined by external factors that may or may not be really in your control. You know, yeah, you can always say, yeah, there's always choices, but there's also some very hard choices. Okay, so.
That's right.
They all bad compromise choices. Anyway, so.
Yeah. All right, well, that goes with the providers. You know, we're developing people that are able to notice and interocept things like when someone is in crisis, you know, or if someone is already in crisis, where is the recovery capital? You know, and so the entity would become part of the recovery capital for that person. So we're going to reach out. We're going to reach out and stick with people. They brought a lady in 2 days ago into the unit. We were in the cafeteria, and she gave a presentation that to me is different than anything that I've ever witnessed, because usually when you refer someone to a place, you know, you give them a handful of papers and an address and a contact number, and they go there and they get in line and everything. And a lot of times they experience nothing happening, you know. But this lady says that when you go through this process with her particular, she said, we got a grant. It's a grant, right, that they got. So when you come to them, they're able to provide resources for you to get to a certain level, and then they stay with you for 9 to 10 months. Now, to somebody in recovery, to be able to have your rent paid and all, you know, every time you run up against a bump or something, they're right there for you. You know, that's a big deal. And when it happens one time, then you can rest assured that you be confident that it could happen twice and three times and four times. And so 9 months to a year, if someone comes around and offer that kind of incentive, so everybody signed up. Right. And so what we're teaching at Elevate is that when people come in and dangle these carrots, you know, you go forward and but you hold their feet to the fire. Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So at Elevate, we're developing and we're going to be tracking when people come in and offer these things. You know, we want to just like take, for instance, Habitat for Humanity. You know, you have to put in some sweat equity, right? So when you offer me something like a resource, what is it that I can do to make sure that this thing happens, right? And so you have a lot of people that don't know how to follow up. And so I think that Elevate is going to be the place to be able to train the trainer. I hopefully will plan to get John Unger, Pastor Unger, and his team to come in and teach us how to develop a recovery coach academy at this facility where I work, because they have the space. And like I said, John, I believe that right now they're willing to listen to some, but we're putting everything on paper. I've gotten a lot of the social workers to buy into the idea of developing the recovery cafe. And, you know, get a few more people on board and they can come in and build it. The owners, they're always there. The people that really actually own the place, they come around all the time. And, you know, they're engaging people. Like, how you doing? You know, is everything okay? What is that we can do? So I'm liking it. I really am.
But so the cafe you have is actually a cafe.
It's going to serve some food, and like I said, it's not even going to be in the dining room, because the dining room is amazing. They have an outside barbecue place, but the recovery cafe will be a place for aftercare, right? So people who are either mandated or people who are in addiction who need this, they take methadone, they take Suboxone, other medically assisted treatment, and so they have to go someplace to get it, right? And usually people say, I'm going to the clinic. Well, we want to say, to have people say, I'm going to the recovery cafe. And when you come to the recovery cafe, you can sit down and have a cup of coffee if you like, or orange juice, I'd like to say, and a bagel, you know, or some hash browns or something. However, there's going to be places to go for what they call IOP, and that's individual outpatient. So you sit down with a therapist, and it's going to be like having a lunch with your therapist. They have booths in the recovery cafe, and they have like a computer lab if you want a job search. That's what the menu consists of. The menu at the recovery cafe is not just food. The menu is goes with nature walks and whatever you want to get involved in. And so those are the things like art therapy, music therapy. They're going to set up, hopefully set up a sound room. It's that big, John. I'm not exaggerating. Oh, it's 250 beds, 6 months.
So, on the job search,
I
would
think.
this include, I mean, just looking through the want ads, or are we talking about
No. We're talking transportation. No,
jobs
no. No, yeah,
that?
we're talking about people coming in doing job fairs and
Right.
yeah.
Employers that would be enticed to come in and interview people, for example, or at least talk about what work at their.
They might, but we want to get people ready to go out of there.
Well, but they got to be able to, the interview process. I mean, what the job market, I mean, the job labor is in a market. You're expecting to be paid wages. That's a price. Okay. And it's tra your trade and your labor power is tradable, so that's a transaction,
Sure is.
and I think it's important for people to get the idea that there's a tremendous amount of motion and turnover, right, in the job market. I mean, huge, millions and millions and millions of people. And most of it's cyclical, and it's actually not that personal. It's very impersonal, the entire thing. It's a whole set of millions of transactions taking place, and so it You know, and so and getting in, getting work is involved in getting in a contractual business relationship with somebody, and that takes some orientation. Like, I mean, I was raised by a lawyer, okay, who, talked contracts from the time I was two. I mean, but not every most families are not like that, okay? I
Right.
mean. And the idea that when you're going to work, why would an employer, well, what would be reasonable expectations from an employer, for example, who decided to invest time or effort or tax-free contributions, whatever, to, the elevate, why would they do that? Okay. I mean, assuming they have some goodwill at the top in any event, but then they got a business or they have a big organization they have to that has all of its own dynamics, I'm sure, So, why would they do it? Okay, so if they hire people out of the program, almost everything's going to be determined in the long run by how those people perform, whether or not, the company is going to end up spending, doing more than an experiment. Okay. And plus, it's going to be some HR persons or some, maybe the CEO. It would be good if it was the CEO was the person who was interested in doing it. That way, you at least, not have a situation where you got a lot of promises and then someone down the road figured out how much it was going to cost. I
Yeah,
said
variables, yeah, man,
that. I mean, what happens when people make, when sales guys get going and they think they're, they're like feet planted in midair, most of the time. So,
it's an expensive endeavor, I grant you that. It is,
so I just think that the success stories even if they're rare at the moment, you know, or are the thing that is going to draw thing. Because the people have money and they want to do something, you know, they like the idea of something that works, right? Makes them look good, makes everybody look good, makes their philanthropy or whatever their, you know. I mean, obviously, if you open one of these things and all you're really doing is you're acting as a front for some drug company to sell the latest, you know, therapeutic drug, you know, regardless of whether it's.
Yeah, right. We talk about that all the time, man. About that all the time, right? You're a commodity. You're a commodity most of the time.
Well, when there's money to be made, you know. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's like that. I just keep repeating this because I just love it when this nice interviewer from CNN asked Jamie Dimon, you know, the billionaire banker, biggest bank in the world, JP Morgan. He says, "Are you too big to fail?" And he says, "I don't know what that means."
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. I don't plan on failing, babe.
So far, so good. Right.
So far, so good.
So far, so good, man. Yeah, but I hope that encouraged somebody. But hey, switching gears, John. So what's new on the horizon, man? Besides, you know, before we go on, let me say this right here, John. Let me say this right here. I just hired you. You're gonna give the talk to everybody about the labor piece. You're gonna bring that,
yeah,
to my friends at Elevate.
Well, yeah. So I mean, the United Auto Workers are. Mm-hmm. I think tonight is the night when the contract expires at midnight, and I haven't heard of any settlement on the table. So there's a strike there of, and I understand there was a 97% strike vote, which is, let me just say, you know, we used to have, you know, in the old days, you know, they used to have strike votes by a division of the House. You know, everybody be at the meeting and says, okay, everybody in favor of going on strike, go over to this side of the room. Everybody else stay over. You know, that was considered you know, but then we went to a secret ballot, you know, as I mean, And sometimes you'd talk to some of these old timers and they'd say, you know, you're going to, you know, all the pussies are going to just, you know, flake, not going to stand together, you know, run. blah, 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 blah. And I said, why don't you find that out now? Okay. Because, you know, if you get out on the picket line and they start applying some force, you know, like with the cops and other means, well, you know, none of the pussies are going to hide then, you know. They're going to start running to mama. So, in the wide open, right through the picket line, you know, with police escort. So,
yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, so why not find that out early?
It makes sense to me, man. Get out in front of that thing.
But
you can do some preemptive action, man.
Secret ballot strike. 97%. That's pretty high. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
So the membership is tired of the two-tier act, and they're tired of threats to lose all the work to electric vehicle lines, which will be set up someplace, no union, you know, and You know, so but the hard problem is to explain to the American people that if the auto workers lose, you're going to lose too.
Yeah,
you are. And it is true. These guys fail to maintain a standard of living that says it's possible for ordinary working people to make enough to send their kid to college, state university, okay, but still costs money. And if you say that's not possible, you know, the auto workers, despite 200,000 people, you know, shutting it down or agreeing, you know, to get some justice out of it. Well, you're not going to get a raise either, pal.
It hurts everybody. Everybody.
If they can't do it with that kind of force, you just, you know, telling your boss how good looking he is that day, that's not going to get it done for you, okay?
Not at all.
Not going to get
it. So what's good on the political arena, that side of the field?
I don't know. I mean, they want us. They're going after Trump big time. Are they going to get him? I don't know.
What do you think?
I will say this. I mean, I kept waiting for him to fold. You know, in one way or another, you know, just to collapse or whatever. And but he's not doing that. And he's going to drive that school bus, you know, right through the freaking front door window. And if he goes down in flames doing
gonna
it,
mow you down, man. He's going to mow you down.
Yeah. I mean, that's the
right over you.
The scariest part of his act is that he's not really acting. You know, he's going to play play it to the end. And
it's reality. Reality TV.
His cartoon. He's one of, you know.
Right. He's reality TV. Somebody. He's a reality guy. Man, yeah. Like Brutus. You know, Brutus. Brutus always looked like he could beat Popeye, but he never did. I think he never did beat Popeye. I think Brutus, man, got his hand on some spinach.
Yeah, man.
Because I never seen him. He knew Popeye. Every time Popeye ate that spinach, he beat him up. And I don't know why Brutus didn't just take the spinach and eat it himself. I never understood that. Or the spinach didn't work on him. That's what it is.
Well.
The stuff Mr. Donald Trump used don't work on me. That stuff don't work on me. I can't do that.
But he's like the kid that didn't like spinach, right? Wouldn't eat it.
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
But he had something on his side, man. I like the job where I am, man. It's giving me a lot of, giving me a lot to do with, you know, just being around that population and to see some changes occur. I don't know how sustainable they are, but, you know, there are some changes that are visible. And the thing for the community, they were talking about the healing forest. And one of the guys said it, brought it up in the meeting.
Yeah.
And about changing the soil of the community, you know? And so, you know, you got to go out and be the best person you know how to be in order to change that soil. If you want to, you know, because if you take a tree and nurse it back to health and then put it back in the same soil, it's going to die again. And that's what happened. That's what I call recidivism. You know, you don't let the tree die so it'll perish. You always pluck it out of the soil just in time, stick it in a rehab. That's the recidivism. And so if that is the plan and it's working really well in the community, I mean, because guys say, oh, yeah, I remember you. You were here before, Mr. James. And I say, you know, I'm glad you remember me, but This is your third time in this place. And all you do is go out, as long as you stay out and come back in 30 days or so, you can come back and go through the same process again.
But what about?
I think it's 60 days, 30 days. I'm not sure how many, but.
Do they keep data on the?
Yes. Suspect? On the recidivism, yes. Yes, they keep
and
really good records.
And yes. The people that escape the recidivism, I mean.
The people that escape the recidivism. Yeah, well, they're going to start an alumni thing. They keep.
Yeah.
Right. So that's part of what the Recovery Cafe is going to be doing.
That'd be
yeah.
Those are people to interview too, and you know, you
exactly.
Might
as soon as they
thought of talking to the leadership about that, as in like an because I think you need an objective that they would really support, a particular kind of programming thing that they like, okay, that does puts this front forward on. What is possible with treatment, you know, and but tells the truth too. So, you know, I think they might. I can't see why they wouldn't go for that, but they probably would want to have some input in terms of how it's.
Of course,
You know, and how it's going to be produced, right? In other words, you know, I mean, for example, someone like me doesn't really have to be on some of that programming. You know, we can just set up and do it and have it set up where you're hosting it. That's easy to do on Zoom. And you're hosting it, and then you get some team from Elevate, you know, or some member there. And so you're having, you know, the kind of dialogue, at least as far as a particular person you're going to interview, right? I mean, just something where it, you know, and then it looks like something where if someone wanted to know more about what the institution is doing and what kind of success, what kind of possibilities there are, and they get some of these videos that are basically on YouTube, but also they can take a look at them, and those are real stories of both care and survival. Yeah. And maybe coming back 2-3 times and before they kick it completely. I mean, you know, whatever the story is, okay?
Yeah.
You know, they would.
So what I was talking to some of the guys about was creating a link. You know, it's a link that's your story. You get your interview, and that's your link. And you keep it. You know, people will have links and get rid of them, but if it's yours, you keep it. And it becomes an heirloom. So to speak, and, right? If somebody want to know what Grandpa did, then you got your story. And I told him we can interview you, and you listen to it. And if you left some stuff out, then we'll interview you again and make another one until you get it the way you want it, and that's yours. And so that way we keep interviewing people, and because when you tell these stories, you always leave stuff out. And when you listen back, you say, oh, I should have put this in. So they were excited about that idea. You know,
there's an app,
what do you think?
There's an app called Storyboard.
Storyboard.
You might want to look it up. And you can integrate video content into the storyline. And it's a cloud service, but it maintains a really interesting...
Look that up.
For example,
I've seen that.
Storyboard. Storyboard. That's the thing pretty much.
Yeah, I think I saw that on my feed one time.
Anyway, they have a format that makes it easy for a user to interact with. And then, but they could also incorporate just, you know, we produced a show in which they told some of their story. Then they could incorporate it directly into their storyboard, okay, along with other, it's a little bit of AI stuff. What it does is it sends you an email or a text or however you want to be communicated about every third or fourth day or weekly, however you set up the program, and it asks you a question, you know, provocative question, like, you know, what's your earliest memory of your mother? What's your earliest, which, you know, they got a whole bunch of them, right? And, but they're mostly just sort of spark plugs to try and get you to respond. And you can respond either in writing or audio, okay? And it'll handle different kinds of content. So it's kind of, so I don't know, it might work for a person to create that kind of record, you know, and especially if it's easy to do, if you can just, if you can get your microphone on your computer working, you can do it. Or you can, if you like to type, if you like to write, but not everybody likes to write, you know, so, yeah.
Pretty cool, man. We're about to have a group on. Yeah, you're going to have to do some groups, John.
Well, some stuff. It would be an interesting way to.
Yeah. And they got some interesting folks, man. Not everybody is just, you know, like people that use drugs for a while, or they started and, you know, drugs have ripped everything from them. You know, they're electricians, man, and master carpenters and people, you know, the PH. Yeah. So some of America's finest come through there, man.
America's finest.
And you say, wow. I'm telling you, wow, what happened, man? You
know, I thought that was the Marine Corps, you know. But, no.
Some of America's finest, man. You just saying, what happened to you, man? Anyway, it's a great, great situation. All right, John, we coming up on the hour, right? Let's,
we're at.
You got something you want to add, man?
Well, no, I ask people to take a look at Enlightened Radio. By the way, the www.enlightenradio.org is where we could always find us. That's actually a blog that has a player at the top of the page. And sometimes the player doesn't show up on your phone. So if you're on a phone and you want to hear us, you can go directly to player.enlightenradio.org. And it'll always show up even on your phone in the right place. So, and I want us, we rebroadcast the, I call them the Winners and Losers Radio Program shows, because that includes James's program, also the Friday program with Karen Valentine, and our Labor Beat program on Tuesdays, and, you know, the storytelling program with Fanny and Stosh Ziokowski on Monday, and Janet Harrison, and we've been doing the poetry program on Wednesdays. So at 10 a.m. Anyway, most of those shows start. But I think James, we're talking about doing this show in the afternoon, right? So I replay the shows every day of the week, every evening of the week at 8 p.m. Okay. So there's always one of the recorded shows from this week playing there, as well as the available for download or directly listening on player or in podcasts.enlightenradio.org. That's a long way around Kelly's barn of saying we're playing all the time. Anyway, take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next. All right, I'm going to stop the recording here. Hold on a second here.
So far, so good.
There we go. So far, so